The Bible. It's the Word of God, sharper than any two-edged sword. This sacred book is living and active and contains all that's needed for life and godliness. Stay with American Family Radio for the next hour as we study God's Word and take your Bible questions. Welcome to Exploring the Word.
Well, welcome to Exploring the Word. We are in Ephesians chapter 6 today, and we're going to begin at verse 12, 13, and following, and get to really one of the most significant, important parts of God's Word for the Christian life that thrives. Thriving, bearing fruit, and being consistent in the Lord. This is Alex McFarland along with Bert Harper, and we're very honored you're listening. If you're at a place where you can get a copy of God's Word, turn to the New Testament book of Ephesians, and we're going to talk about the whole armor of God. You know, Bert, a lot of times when we see the word therefore, we'll kind of laugh and say, look what it's there for. But verse 13 of Ephesians 6, at least in my Bible, it begins with wherefore, wherefore, wherefore. And it had talked about spiritual wickedness in high places. And really the word wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, it means because of this, or in light of these realities, because of this, the world, the flesh, and the devil, we need to suit up every day with the whole armor of God. And the good news is every Christian may do that. It's important stuff, isn't it, Bert?
It really is. And if you're going to be a Christian that walks with the Lord, you need the armor of God. I think a lot of people, they want the Christian life to be a cruise ship, a luxury ship, rather than a battleship. But it is a battleship. It is difficult. Armor, warrior, all of those, soldier, all of those are mentioned all through the scriptures about the walk with the Lord, that it is a battle. We're in enemy territory, and so we have to be strong. And so, Alex, because of who we're fighting, what we're fighting in verses 12 that you see, in verse 11 and 12, the wiles of the devil, the flesh, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but principalities, powers, rulers of darkness, spiritual host of wickedness. The battle is spiritual, and we're to win that battle, and that's the way we'll do it. So, therefore, my version says therefore, but the next two words are take up. I don't know if yours is put on or take up.
Yeah, take unto you the whole armor of God.
Okay, now hear what it is. Earlier in verse 11, it says put on. Now, what you got to do in order to put on the armor of God in verse 11, you take up each one and put it on. In other words, take it up. Do this. Put each one of these on to fulfill the armor. In other words, when it talks about verse 11, put on the whole armor of God, it's looking at the whole. You come to verse 13, 14, and 15, and 16, and 17, you're putting on the individual parts of the armor. You catch the, I think that's significant. The expectation is you put on the whole thing, and then he gives the list. Don't miss a one. Do you catch what
Absolutely.
I think he's getting to?
The complete armor of God. And without the complete armor of God, we're vulnerable. Now, depending on how you count, there's either six elements here, but I'm going to say there's a seventh. For one, verse 14, the belt of truth. Then verse 14, the breastplate of righteousness. Then feet fitted with the gospel of peace, or some translations in verse 15 will say shod. Feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Ephesians 6:16, the shield of faith. Verse 17, the helmet of salvation. Verse 17, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Amen, amen. But I'm going to add a seventh part of our spiritual protection and power in verse 18. That's prayer. In fact, I think that's the big one, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. So, Bert, there's a lot we could say. There's been, you know, obviously over the years, a whole lot of preaching about these things. But I think Ephesians 6, you know, 14 through 18 deserves, every Christian really ought to meditate on this and take it to heart, because these things of armament and weapons and armor, it's because we're in a battle.
It is, and that battle is real. And as you said, it's kind of a trio. It is the world system, the Satan himself, and ourself. Paul talked about keeping his body under subjection, buffeting, disciplining his body. And I don't know about everybody else, but every morning I get up and look in the mirror, I look the one I have to overcome first, and that's self. Selfishness runs strong in the human nature. And so here it is. What does it start with? And I mentioned this yesterday. It starts with truth. Alex, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Yes, this truth, and it's the waist with truth. Some people call it the girdle of truth. It's where it's attached, and the breastplate of righteousness. But what we do is the truth, righteousness. Alex, we better start with those, haven't we? I mean, you better start with, you have your heart right with God. You're a believer. But then what do? You put these on. You take them up. Make sure it's truth. Make sure it's righteous. Those two, I got a feeling that the others are not going to be effective if you don't start with truth and righteousness.
Exactly. And as everyone knows, I'm sure we're living in a time where truth is unknown. Truth is ignored. Truth is very often suppressed. Truth about lots and lots of things. And in verse 14, the belt of truth around your middle, I mean, that just signifies, I think, just in every area of life, all around us, we need to be immersed in, surrounded with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness. And as I'm sure many people have heard preachers preach on this, but we have the righteousness of Christ imputed to us. We are also, though, to pursue personal righteousness. We're to live righteously. And it's like, the breastplate would be like the chest protection that, you wouldn't get a mortal chest wound to the heart, whether it's, the accusations of Satan. And Bert, I don't want to get us off track here, but there's true conviction and then there's false conviction, really. I've met Christians that are unsure of their salvation, and they feel like they're always under self-condemnation and really a conviction that gets them just very depressed that's really not of God. Then there's real and very necessary conviction. If we sin or drift away or backslide, and the Spirit of God mercifully does convict us so that we can realize where we're at and turn back to God, so much is solved, I think, when we realize the righteousness of Christ, that we are made right before God by Christ's righteousness, then daily, every day as a disciple, we are to live righteously, and we get our heart in the right place, with God's help, keep our heart in the right place. I think verse 14 of Ephesians 6, the breastplate of righteousness, that's what this speaks of.
It really does. And then when you add 15, having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, you're ready to go. Now, again, you're ready to go because you have this, I would say, the defensive armament that you need. And again, part of it, not completely, but you're ready. But as I look at this, I got to remember where Paul was when he was writing this. He was in a what kind of prison? A Roman prison. What did that mean? It probably meant that each day he would have two, possibly three different Roman soldiers coming in each day and checking on him or being part. He is under arrest. So he's seeing all this armor that's on a Roman soldier. And so, man, wow. It is real to him. And he looks down and sees their feet. They're not barefooted. It's the sandals that they have, and you've seen pictures of it. But they put those on. It's got to be deliberate, and it prepares them to go to the places they need to go and be effective. So after we have the truth, we have righteousness, we have that which is in our heart and our lives ready to go. Now, again, we need some more defensive, we need some more weaponry, and that will come. But you couldn't help but notice when he puts this on after the truth and righteousness, Alex.
Well, you know, depending on what commentary you've got, you know, the King James says the preparation of the gospel of peace, but it really means, quote, the eagerness that comes from the gospel of peace, or one lexicon I've got says the readiness of the gospel. In other words, eager, ready, prepared, and willing to share the gospel. What a beautiful thing that is. And the shield of faith, and wherewith you shall be able to quench the fiery darts of the wicked one. You know, Satan is like an evil archer firing his darts at us, and it not just arrows, but the flaming. That's what it means, and it's a variation of the word pyromania, and this a little bit dovetails with the Hebrews 12 about the sin that so easily besets us. Satan is trying to poke us where it hurts and poke us where we're weak and vulnerable. But you've got faith. You've got these elements, and you're shielded, protected. The helmet of salvation.
Alex, before we get away, if you don't mind, so we don't have to go back, stay with it. Notice the fiery darts. They're coming. These are from a distance. Okay? Darts are from resistance. It could be an arrow that's showing, throwing them, whatever. But these come at a distance, and you have the time to put the shield up to block it. You catch the view. The battle is going on, and yes, there's some that's close up. You need that you need that breastplate. You need that belt. But you also need that shield, because they come from many directions, and when you have the view, you can block them out. Fiery darts coming at you, and notice it is plural, not singular. Satan will pour it on at certain times, won't he?
He really will. You know, in the conflict in the Middle East, much is in the news about the Iron Dome over Jerusalem. And fortunately, that technology has been able to cause them to intercept, you know, well over 90% of the missiles aimed at Israel, the Iron Dome. Well, I think our Iron Dome is faith, the shield of faith. And what that represents in verse 16 is trust.
Amen.
Trust in God. Now, the flaming arrows, the devil and his demons, temptations, doubts, slander, and the sin which so easily besets us. Here's the thing, folks. You're walking with the Lord. You're reading His Word. That's God speaking to you. You're praying. That's you communicating with God. Every day, I think we need to shore up the Iron Dome of our soul and heart. You
Amen.
Know what I mean?
Amen, because He is going to keep firing. He's got a real full arsenal, and they come at different directions, different ways, different times. This is Exploring the Word. This is Bert and Alex, and we're going through the book of Ephesians. As a matter of fact, we're probably going to finish today, so stay with us as we continue. Right now, the voices in our culture are loud, but truth is often silent. And today, Preborn needs you to help speak that truth. Women facing unplanned pregnancies are often pressured to act quickly. Before they have time to pause, breathe, or hear the truth about life, dignity, and hope. But I refuse to be silent, and I'm asking you to join me. At Preborn Network Clinics, a woman is welcomed with compassion and given a free ultrasound. She sees the life growing inside her, often for the first time. And in that sacred moment, fear gives way to clarity. And she's offered something the abortion industry will never provide, the hope of Jesus Christ. This April, our goal is to have 11,000 gospel conversations in Preborn Network clinics, trusting God to bring the increase as we remain faithful to speak.
You can help make that possible by sponsoring ultrasounds. Just $28 provides one ultrasound. $140 sponsors five ultrasounds for mothers in crisis. Every dollar helps save babies and share the good news of Jesus Christ. To donate, dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250 baby. Or visit preborn.com/host. That's preborn.com/host.
In Christ alone, my hope is found. He is my life, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through the fiercest trial and storm.
Amen. Thank you for that song. You know, choruses have their place, but I want to tell you, I'm proud the Gettys came back with some hymns that were so great and so powerful, and that's one of the greatest. I appreciate that so much. Thank you for playing it. We thank Brent all the time for the music he plays, but let me just tell you, people say, man, it helps us. Well, I want to tell you, there's two guys behind two microphones. It blesses us as well, so thank you for that. Amen. Alex, have you ever heard keep your head in the game?
Oh, yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Verse 17, take the helmet of salvation. Now, again, I know it's for protection, but I also believe with all my heart it is to keep your focus. Keep your focus on the Lord Jesus Christ. Put your face as a flint toward him, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. So the helmet of our salvation has to do, and you said it, I think the other, just that conviction, what it means, that is legitimate, but that is sometimes of your own making, and Satan. So take the helmet of salvation. Keep your mind and your head in the game and walk with Christ. Alex, I just want to tell you, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So again, as you think, as you walk with the Lord, you need to saturate yourself with the Word of God. You need to keep yourself in prayer, in check, and discipline. And that'll help your right thinking, won't it?
It really will. You know, Bert, one of the things that really, really encourages me throughout the year, working with young people, the heart they have for worship. And, you know, we're talking about here in Ephesians 6, really 13 through 20, about, you know, thriving spiritually and the armor of our journey and our warfare. And with the music coming back, you were talking about worship. You know, like Hebrews 13, verse 5 says, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God, that is, the fruit of lips that acknowledge his name. And, of course, you know, Jesus said, like in John 4, 24, that we're to worship the Lord in spirit and truth. What I was going to say was something that really, really encourages me is how eager young people are to worship Jesus. You know, I mean, and not only in song, but really to pray and give God the glory. And see, that is one of the keys of spiritual health and vigor and vitality, is that daily we're to worship God. And, you know, as the Bible says, ascribe the glory due his name. And I think that is one of the keys, too, of spiritual victory. Because, I mean, you think about it. When you're in a posture of, you know, praising God, thanking God for the 10,000 blessings of knowing the Lord every day, if you're in a heart and a mindset and a state of worship, it's going to be very rare for Satan's temptations to break through to you.
Amen. And what happens privately and publicly, the worship is real. And yeah. I have found out if I do not worship God privately, when I get to the public place where I'm gathered around with other believers, it takes a while. I'm using this term, forgive me if it's a bad one, to get warmed up. You know, like before you play a game, you warm up, you stretch and do that. Well, listen, when I've spent my time right, privately worshiping the Lord, Again, I can't carry a tune, but when I'm by myself in a vehicle, man, I worship the Lord, singing Amen. Praises to Him. And I hope He receives it the way I give it, just a proclamation of who He is. But that worship, private and public. And so let me encourage everyone, make your private worship real. So when you come to the public, you don't have to take half of the time warming up. You come in ready. So, Alex, I appreciate what you said about the worship. I agree with you.
For me, springtime, one of my favorite times of year. Yesterday, I was driving to come to the radio show, and they were working on the road, so I took a detour out through the country. And so many of the fields are just exploding with greenery, and there's some colorful buds on the trees, and there's birds and bees, and spring is emerging. And I was just saying, Lord, I give you the glory. That is the most beautiful green meadow. Leaves are coming back. Glory, glory to God. I know it's been said, this world is pretty beautiful, God's creation, but you just think about it. 2,000 years ago, He said, I've gone to prepare a place for you. This world was built in 6 days, and God rested on the seventh, and it's been under the curse of entropy since Genesis 3. Just imagine what God has made for His bride, the church, that He's been working on for 2,000 years, and there is no curse nor anything that defileth.
Amen.
I mean, we just don't have the vocabulary adequate to say how much God deserves our worship and praise. And He gave us life and bought our salvation. I mean, glory to God. Well, speaking of that, 18, 19, 20. Let me read this, and Bert, if you would comment. Paul says this, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints and for me. So praying for all the church, Paul is saying, pray for me too. Verse 19, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains or in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Notice Paul doesn't say, by the way, please pray for me that I'll get released. No, he says, pray that I'll be a powerful proclaimer of the gospel. Isn't that amazing?
It is. And Alex, one thing more about 17 connecting to 18. Before he mentions prayer, he mentions the Word of God, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. I cannot tell you adequately how much you need both in your life. Yes, God hears the prayers of His saints. Amen. But when you have saturated your mind with the Word of God, the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, that gets you prayer ready. As I was talking about the helmet of the public and private worship, listen, the Word of God, taking it in and let it speak. I'm not just saying read and say, well, I'll check that out for the day. No, God, speak to my heart. And then you come to praying. Always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Now notice the tie-in, the sword of the Spirit and praying in the Spirit. Alex, the Holy Spirit of God using those tools in our lives and for His kingdom, I just want to tell you, it is powerful, and most of the time we have no earthly idea, and prayer changes things, but I'm not making an excuse. You know what prayer changed more than anything? Bert Harper. Spending time with him in prayer and him convicting me. Hey, Bert, I know you're asking this from me, but what's that attitude you have? And I have to go and check it. And the Word of God does that. So it gets us ready. And that is the whole thing. And as you said in verse 19, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. So all that you see in verses 14 about the truth, about righteousness, the peace, the faith, it comes to here, which is said, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. I think it was built, as you said earlier, when we first started, the most important prayer. I think all the others were building up to that. What do you think?
Amen. I think so, too. And Paul, he is always on mission, isn't he?
He is.
So let me ask you this as this book concludes. Who is somebody in the New Testament that is a companion of Paul on different missionary journeys? He is described here as a beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord. He is a bearer of the letter to the church at Colossae. He's mentioned as somebody that Paul might send to Crete, and he was once sent by Paul to Ephesus. Five times this faithful foot soldier appears in the New Testament. Bert, do you know who I'm speaking of?
Well, how do you say his name? I have a nickname for him. Is that all right?
Ty. Ty.
Ty. That is amazing. Here's this great hero.
Yeah.
And, you know, he really is. Look what he had in his possession. Alex, go ahead. But
yeah,
amen.
Exactly. You know, and I don't know if it's Tychicus or Tychicus. I don't know. But verse 21 and following, but that you also may know my affairs and how I do. Tychicus, a beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, shall make known to you all things, whom I have sent to you for the same purpose, that you might know our affairs and he might comfort your hearts. Before we kind of wrap up and tie a bow on this, you know, Bert, I've told the story. When I was in ninth grade, I got to go be a page for the governor. And all week long, I just wanted to get out of school. But then Governor Jim Hunt was sending me all over Raleigh, and there were several other pages. And they handed me a manila envelope, told me to take it to a certain building. And the secretary of the governor said, go straightway, take this. It's a check for, I think it was about $120,000-something, and just go and hand it by hand to this person, and I'll call and tell him you're on the way. And my little heart was beating. I was like, oh, my goodness, a check. And, you know, I was in high school, and all right, that a delivery of a valuable thing. But, you know, this Tychicus or Tychicus, who is carrying scripture from Paul to the church at Colossae, or a message to the church in Ephesus. Talk about mission critical delivery of a valuable thing. One of the letters that would become God's word in the New Testament. Amazing.
It is. And what a privilege we have. How beautiful are the feet that carry the good news of Jesus Christ. And we need to understand how valuable it is that we have the Bible in our language, our heart language. My son, that Nathan, when he was ministering to refugees, and he had all kinds of languages there in the Atlanta area where he was ministering, and there'd be people there that had spent 14 years in a refugee camp, and now they had gotten permission, and they were coming in and trying to find them, and they would witness to them. But what would happen if they didn't have the Bible or even someone there to speak the language in their heart language? There was always a gap, a communication gap. And I remember one or two of them especially, when they found someone that came and they were a Christian and they spoke the language, the heart language of the individual they were witnessing to, it made all the difference in the world. And so, Alex, here it is, the church at Ephesus, the church in Colossae, Philemon, that here he has these in his possessions. How beautiful are the feet that was carrying this, how precious, how important it was. But those of us who let the Word of God be a part of our lives, we're carrying a precious message as well, aren't we?
Well, we really are. I mean, and every one of us, like Paul, who said that he was an ambassador in chains, verse 20, we're an ambassador for Christ. We are.
What's the difference in what's an ambassador? Is he carrying somebody else's message and not necessarily their own, are they?
That's true. He's on mission with, he's got his, as we say, their marching orders.
Yes.
You know, and that's us. We don't have a message, but we are commissioned to take Christ's message.
Yes.
That's why, you know, we sometimes we'll use the phrase a high view of Scripture, because we Christians, but especially ministers, you know, when I was coming up, people were concerned about liberal theology. Now they say, you know, woke. Listen, no church in any generation has the authority to change or improve upon or twist or water down. It is the, as Jude 3 says, the faith once delivered. In other words, it doesn't need revision. It's not open for revision, but it is commissioned to us for proclamation. And Ephesians 6, Paul is wrapping up with a closing salutation, 23:24. Peace be to the brethren and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with all them that love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. Amen. And may God grant that that's everyone listening, that we would love the Lord Jesus, not going through the motions, not ritual, but in sincerity, in relationship and reality.
Alex, notice one thing. Notice how much of the armor of God that he said each individual should put on and take up. And as he closes, those are part of what he says that we need, that they need, that he wants them to have: peace, love, faith, sincerity. The whole idea, yes, let it be a part of your life. And that it is just so much a part of your life that it is seen and given over to others. What a book this is, the book of Ephesians. Paul would write it. It was written in a Roman cell, imprisoned, and he wrote and he said, this is what I want for you. I want you to be ready to do the work God's called you to do. That's what exploring the Word is all about, wanting you to come to Christ and then equipping you to do the work that God has called us to do. Well, Alex, we're going to take phone calls. And let me give that number. Write it down. You know, put it in right now. 888-589-8840. We'd love your question today.
The AFR app is a powerful tool, but it does have limitations. You can't use it to change the oil in your vehicle or get rid of carpet stains. It won't walk the dog, won't pick up the dry cleaning, or take the kids to practice. But while you're doing those things, you can listen to your favorite AFR content through the app on your phone, smart device, or Roku. Just go to your app store or visit AFR.net. Listen to AFR wherever you go with the AFR app.
Welcome back to Exploring the Word. We're going to go to phone calls and your Bible questions. Alex and Bert here. By the way, the number is 888-589-8840. 888-589-8840. We'd love to hear your Bible question. By the way, everybody, please keep me in prayer tomorrow morning. I've got the great privilege. I'm speaking to Fellowship of Christian Athletes in North Carolina, FCA, and really a great honor to be in front of the young people with FCA. And then I'll be driving to the Greenville-Spartanburg area, because tomorrow night in Spartanburg, South Carolina, I'll be at Zion Hill Baptist Church, Pastor Keith Davis, Friday night, Saturday morning, Saturday night, Sunday morning, in all services. And Bert, we're going to be doing some Christian apologetics, defending the Christian faith, and preaching about revival. And their website, by the way, is zionhill.us. If you're in the South Carolina area, maybe I'll get to see y'all this weekend.
You would be blessed by being in that area of the upper part of South Carolina, and a double blessing by hearing Alex. If you can go, I would recommend it highly. I hope it goes great, and we'll be praying, Alex. Well, let's go to the phone lines, and we're going to start off with Tammy from Virginia. Tammy, go right ahead.
Yes, I'm calling with the praise.
We love to start off that way. Go ahead, girl.
My son is in boot camp for the Army, and I've been praying for years that he would find the Lord. And I got a letter last night that he's found the Lord. He's going to church in boot camp, and they gave him a Bible, and he says he's reading it as often as he can.
Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. We need the hallelujah chorus right there.
Hallelujah. Sister, we rejoice with you.
Amen. Hey, is it all right if I pray, Tammy, and thank God for that?
Oh, absolutely.
Father, I thank you for Tammy praising you and passing the praise on to us. And we're praying for her son that he would grow in the Lord. Just as we've talked about it today, the armor of God being put on, and Father, each one of them, and that he might be your vessel there. And thank you, Lord, that he would serve. And I pray you would be with him and those others that are serving. And Father, that your will would be done. And again, we praise you and thank you in Jesus' holy name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen, Tammy. Thank you. Thank you. Okay, let's go to Ohio. Tim, thank you for calling Exploring the Word. Go right ahead.
Hey, God bless you, Tammy. Hey, fellas, I got a question for you, and I was happy to hear you guys say you're doing FCA tomorrow in North Carolina. I do FCA at our local high school. I'm a teacher. I've been doing it for 42 years.
Amen. Amen. Let me stop a minute. Hold you. FCA, I want to just tell you, they are in the ball game. They're not sitting on the sideline. They're in the ball game at these schools, and Christ, and I just want to say thanks for Fellowship of Christian Athletes. Go ahead, Tim.
Amen. All right, so we've been spending the last 6 weeks touching on each day of Holy Week. Next Thursday will be the last day we get to meet prior to spring break. If you guys could teach a topic or an event that during Holy Week that maybe we don't teach enough of, what would you guys touch on?
Alex, going to take me a minute to think. You go ahead if you are ready.
Do you know what? I might, and we're going to do this next week, and this is Palm Sunday, and folks, I've got my pre-recorded show that's on AFR this weekend. Just the Alex McFarland Show airs Saturday and Sunday. I do a real deep dive into what Palm Sunday is all about, and I tie it to Daniel 9:25, which is an amazing prophecy where Daniel pretty much predicted to the day Passover where Christ would go to the cross. And so please listen to my pre-record over the weekend if you would. But then we're going to go through every single day, and I think one of the amazing things would be the seven unfair trials of Jesus, where he was kicked back and forth between Annas, Caiaphas, Herod, and then ultimately he was nailed to the cross. I believe it was Friday, Good Friday, I know there's some people don't think that works out. But, Bert, how about you? What about Holy Week is especially significant in your heart?
Well, Palm Sunday is that, but him, I just say him before Pilate in our day, and Pilate asking him, what is truth?
Yeah.
In our day that we're living in with students, that really, thinking of the audience, that comes across strong, what is truth? And Jesus is that way. Tim, you got a lot to pick from. Alex gave you a lot there, and mine is more simple than that. But I do believe that, man, when we get a hold of truth, like we were talking about the armor of God and everything else based upon that, you can add to it. But if you don't have truth, you have nothing to add to. And so, hey, Tim, can we pray for you during this week and all the FCA? Alex, would you mind praying? And you see what I'm talking about? Probably Amen. FCA, a lot of folks this week going to be involved in that, I think.
Amen. Let's pray. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for the ministry of FCA. And Lord, I thank you that I get to go tomorrow, and they say they'll be at least 100 teenagers there. And Lord, I just pray you'll give me the ability to share the gospel. I thank you for Tim there and ministering as he is for 40 years plus, you know, serving you and reaching these young people. And Lord, all of the people, Lane Downing, who is a teacher here in North Carolina that leads FCA. And so, Lord, we pray for your Holy Spirit to send the gospel forth. And many of these young people, the lady was telling me this morning that so many of them have never set foot in a church before, but they're eagerly coming out at 7 in the morning to hear the gospel before school gets started. And the huddles they have where they pray. And through sports, you're building relationships and then getting the gospel of Jesus Christ into these young lives. Lord, we praise you. As our nation needs a great revival, Lord, we say please, Lord, in your mercy, in your power, sweep the Holy Spirit across the United States. Save the lost, revive the church, hold back the darkness, convert the Muslims. And Lord, we just pray that the gospel and Jesus would cover our land, and we need it so desperately, and we ask you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Tim, and we will be praying. Let's go to Arkansas. Julie, thank you for calling Exploring the Word. Go right ahead.
Yes, I was calling to ask what the difference is between or how you discern or how you the soul and the spirit.
Okay, great question.
Yes.
Let me go back to Genesis. God breathed into Adam, and he became a what? A living soul. The person. Alex, the spirit can be dead or alive. The soul is always alive, isn't it?
Yes, and I love to teach on this. I think it's really vitally important, and I want to say, like, if I read 1 Thessalonians 5:23, only Christianity accurately spells out the various components that make up a human being. Here's what 1 Thessalonians 5:23 says. The very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, very often people say, well, you know, you're a body and a soul. But really, to be precise, the non-physical part of every individual is really two components. Okay, spirit, which is the word pneuma, the breath of God, that part of you that is everlasting. That's your spirit. Then your soul is really, in the Greek word, the word psyche, P-S-Y-C-H-E, from which we get like psychology. So your soul, that would be your mind, your knowledge, your intellect, your emotions, your personality, your soul. And then your body is the word sarx, the flesh, okay? So when you come to Christ, and by the way, we are a Trinity. We are reflective of our Creator, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Well, man, humans are spirit, soul, and body. All right, you put your trust in Jesus. Your spirit is regenerated, made alive forever. Your soul, your mind is renewed for as long as you live and walk with Jesus. One day, your body gets glorified. Bert, Jesus saves the whole person, doesn't he?
He really does. And the difference is amazing. Physically now, I had a friend, and he was away from God, lost. And man, he had been in fights and had some scars from them, believe it or not. He got saved. Now, he had a whole new, different heart, soul. He had the spirit was alive, but guess what? His body was the same. Those scars remained, but the good part of it was one of these days, those scars are going to be gone. And have you ever heard this? The only thing man made in heaven are the wounds that's on Jesus' hands and feet.
Yes.
And praise the Lord, but God brings alive the spirit in man. And the soul is renewed day by day. And again, they're separate. And the Word of God is the one that kind of separates those, because they're so, after you say, they're so intertwined, Alex, that it's hard to, you know, delineate. But the Word of God, it will speak to you and help us, won't it?
Amen.
Okay.
Amen.
Thank you, Julie. Great call. Great question. Let's go to Louisiana and talk to John. John, thank you for calling today.
Yes, I would just like to say that it's very important to serve the Lord, to use, to explain definitely from Scripture or different illustrations to share truth. For example, the shield of faith. We have the example of Pilgrim's Progress, how he was confronted with these eight or nine or more different confrontations, and he dealt with them effectively by having faith, by courage, and sticking with it in thick and thin. And so to give illustrations is much more effective than just saying general things. And we think of also Paul with the Athenians, Paul before the Philippian jailer, and other things, and how they dealt with people, and then they became saved. So let's use those for effective teaching and communication of the gospel rather than just general statements.
John, let me share this with you. I remember taking my hermeneutics class, that's preaching and putting the message, the sermon, the message together. And one of them was explanation, explain the scriptures. Sometimes you do it word by word. Sometimes you do it geographically, historically, and do it all. And then you can illustrate the different illustrations you have. And one of the best is scripture on scripture. I agree with John. That's one of the best illustrations there is, isn't it, Alex?
Yeah, it really is. It really is. I appreciate that. I'm glad he mentioned Pilgrim's Progress. And another great John Bunyan book, fascinating, The Battle for Man's Soul.
Oh, man.
M-A-N-S-O-U-L.
Yeah.
It's a city. Everybody knows about Pilgrim's Progress, but seek out that other one, The Battle for Man's Soul.
Was he in prison when he wrote that one, too?
He sure was. And they've been in print 400 years.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, John. Let's go to Michigan, and it's Jacob. Jacob, thank you for calling. Go right ahead.
Hey, guys. Thanks a lot for taking my call today. I got a question. Last year in my city, there was a public denouncement of Jesus Christ, and there was a guy on a microphone, and he had a big screen up, and it was pretty disrespectful. I didn't know how to handle that, and my wife didn't either, because I don't like feeding into that stuff. And I didn't want to give it power, but I wanted to know, as a Christian, what is the right way to react?
Okay, the whole thing is, and I'll start out, don't have a lot of time, and a lot of the answers is in the book of Ephesians. You stand, and then you withstand. And that means you stand against untruth, no matter what it is. Now, how you handle that publicly and privately, sometimes you have to negotiate and navigate. I should say navigate that, don't you, Alex?
Yeah, and do you know what? I think people like that, you know, respectfully, but we need to say, look, let's talk about this, because, oh my goodness, the evidence for Jesus Christ is compelling. He is the most verified, validated life of the ancient world. And we believe by faith, of course, but the life, teachings, the miracles, the deeds, the death, the resurrection of Jesus, it's easier to believe that than the life of Julius Caesar. And so a public denouncement sounds like a guy that A, doesn't know Jesus, but B, doesn't know what he's talking about either.
I'd say so. Sometimes it's a phone call to them, at least their office, to let them know. I've known folks that's used a letter to the editor to make known what was going on. So there is ways to I use the word, we're talking about warriors and combat, to combat such untruth. Hey, Alex, tomorrow is Fire Away Friday. You going to be ready?
Fire Away Friday tomorrow, folks. All questions, all the hour. Be thinking of your Bible questions, listen in, call in, and we'd be very happy to share with you tomorrow on Exploring the Word. Blessings.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.